want to remind us of the verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thanksgiving season's over. I don't plan to preach on Thanksgiving, but in everything, give thanks. Wherever you find yourself in life, God requires us to be thankful. We should be a thankful people. It doesn't say, give thanks for everything. It doesn't say for everything, give thanks. It just says, in everything. And I was just challenged with that thought this week, that somehow we focus on Thanksgiving, then we move into Christmas and life is good, life is, and then we're going to hit January and February and the dark seasons. Like Glendon said, January gets dark and people get gloomy. Wherever we find ourselves in life, give thanks, realizing that God is in control. I think his people should be some of the most thankful people. And life is full of situations out of our control. Well, this morning for a sermon, I struggled to know a little bit what to preach on. So I went to my idea book that I keep of just sermons that I thought maybe I would preach sometime. And I chose one. One inspired me to preach on something I chose to preach on a man this morning. I'm going to give you a little bit of Bible trivia, and I want your help. This man is in the Old Testament. He's only listed once. His name means sorrow. Who is it? Does anybody know? He had a prayer, and people like to study that prayer. Nobody? Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. There's been a book, there's been a lot of studies on this man. I've never read them. It's been a study that I thought maybe I would do sometime. Well, this morning I've chosen to do that. This man's name is Jabez. And that book that everybody reads is The Prayer of Jabez. And the title I just simply chose this morning is Jabez Desiring God's Blessing. Because this man, I don't know who he was. He's only listed. There's only two verses in the middle of a big, long chronological list of names. 1 Chronicles 4, you'll discover, is in the middle of family history. This man was born to this man. This man begat this man. And on it goes, just page after page. And we get to verse 9. It says this: "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." And it picks right up with the genealogies and just keeps on talking about who begat who. It's just like two verses stuck right in the middle. And why are they there? I don't know why they're there, but I want to look at this man this morning, and I want to try to make just a practical sermon, something simple for us to take home. This man says Jabez was more honorable than his brother. How is it with us this morning? I mean, it was a man, but you could put, ladies, you could put your name in there. Is it our heart's desire to be more honorable in the sight of God than the worldly, than modern Christianity? Not that we're trying to lift ourselves up in pride among brethren, but we're more honorable than this entire list of names that as we read and we read and we read, and we have a man here that must have been somewhat special. I think about finding this name in a list of genealogies, and somehow we come to Christmas time, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, we start doing a lot of family gatherings, and you start seeing maybe family you haven't seen for a while. And you know, when you meet with family, it's a time to stop and to pause and to say, how's my family doing? My aunts, my uncles. Are they staying true to God? Are they walking a course to God, or are they walking the course to this world? It makes me ponder. You see family members that begin plotting a course. And we have this man that says he was more honorable than his brothers. What made him a more honorable man? Oh no. Just thoughts that I'm thinking here this morning. Where's your name going to be at in this list? Someday all there'll be is just a name in a book. And it says Vernon Schenck begat some sons. And those sons begat some sons. And your family tree goes on and on. Are they faithful? Well, it's just some thoughts that's been going through my mind. Here's a lady. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brother. And his mother called his name Jabez. It means sorrowful, sorrow. Saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And I first thought, well, it meant in childbearing, it was sorrowful. But I think there was something sorrowful about her life. And her life was just in a miserable state. And God blessed her with this child. And she says, I am so full of sorrow. And in the Old Testament, the names meant something. And so this poor man was named Sorrow. And I had to wonder as he went throughout life, and he said, what's your name? It's Jabez, and it means sorrow. That was kind of a name he had to live with. I had to think about that, why his mother would have named him Sorrow. But I wonder what brought the sorrow into her life. We don't know. It's just two little verses. But what was her life? Was it captivity? Was it maybe in captivity? Maybe there was a lack of food and she was struggling to survive. You just kind of let your mind wonder why she would have been a sorrowful person. Maybe there was death in her household. Maybe her husband had passed away. And she said, my life is so sorrowful. And God gave me this son. And how am I going to raise him? It seemed like it was a pretty traumatic event. Maybe it was a handicap that Jabez was born with. I don't know. But this man was named for sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. And I don't know if he was experiencing that sorrow in his life or if he was saying, I'm just doomed, man. God, I just need you to pour out a blessing on my life. And I think you could identify with that no matter where we are in life. It's like, God, I need you. God, I have so many things against me in life. Would you just bless me? And that's what I want to look at this morning. How that we just desire a blessing. And as a church group, as God blesses, we can grow to be more like him. We can become a more honorable man than we are today. Some questions that I would like to ask myself this morning. Do I desire God's blessing? Or am I just living life just from day to day? Living in my sorrow? Just saying, oh well. Am I crying out to God for a blessing? Do I desire a blessing? Do you desire a blessing? Does Calvary Church desire God's blessing? What are you doing about it? Are you actively seeking a blessing from God? Are you praying for it? Can we rise above the sorrows of life? The sorrows that come to us. I was struck with the song that Brother Randy led during as we lifted the offering, and I would just like to read it. It was in the church hymnal, it was number 359. It was a very familiar song. It was More Love to Thee. The third verse said this. It just stood out to me. Let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers. Sweet their refrain when they can sing with me. Let sorrow do its work. And of course, I was thinking about this man, his mom was so sorrowful. And this song says, sends sorrow to me. And we say, I don't want any sorrow. But as the sorrows of life come to us, do we cry out for God to bless us? Can we rise above the sorrows of life? How many have prayed for God's blessing this week? Blessings on our labors, blessings on our food. So many times we say, God bless our food, God bless my day, God bless my family. Are we praying in a sincere way, or is it just habit that we just say, God bless, God bless? Do we really think about what we're saying when we say, God bless our meal? God bless this food. Are we thinking about that God is this supreme being that can bring changes into our life? Have we prayed for wisdom to guide our families? Wisdom to guide our churches? Wisdom for our church family? And as a leader, I think about the leadership that will be coming from this congregation. Are we praying about that and saying, Lord, move among us? Why do you pray for a blessing? Just some questions to just make you think. Why would you pray for a blessing? Do you think God can really make a difference? And when God does make a difference, our hearts should be so full of gratitude and thankfulness. And that's why my heart was saying, in everything give thanks, no matter what the sorrows are of life, whatever you are facing, God pours out a blessing. How small it is, may our heart be so grateful. And we don't have that here. All we know is that Jabez says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that mine hand, I'm sorry, I got mixed up, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Isn't that beautiful? God granted it to him. God gave him the desires of his heart, and God blessed him. What happened after that? We don't know. We don't have the verses of thanksgiving that come from this man. But what is it? How about my heart? What about your heart? Are we wanting to grow? Do we want spiritual blessings? This world is so much about, Lord, I want you to bless me. I want a nice house. I want a nice family. Lord, I want this. I want this. I need enough money to pay my bills. And Lord, I would like a bigger house. And Lord, I need a nicer truck. And Lord, I want. Is that what we're talking about this morning? Are we saying, Lord, I need blessed spiritually? Lord, I am so small. I have so many shortcomings. Lord, I need your blessing in my life. I need so much wisdom to know how to make decisions. Lord, I am so, like Job, we have so many shortcomings. It's not wrong to seek God's physical blessings, that we want good health, we want to stay out of the hospitals. But ultimately, we want God's spiritual blessings on our church family, on my life, on your life. The Apostle Paul said it like this. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us. We're talking about blessings. Who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It goes on. But God has just given so many blessings. And the Apostle Paul couldn't get done. He just keeps going. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So many riches, so many blessings that God wants to pour out on his people. This prayer of Jabez, this man Jabez, I want to look at verse 10. And we just simply want to go down through there and pull out the different sections of it and just look at those and try to make them practical to us today. The first one we have is, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. It's the heart cry of a man that has a lot of sorrow in his life. Bless me. Proverb writer says this, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. God's blessing is abundant. There's another story that reminds very similar like it. Another man, at another time, was wrestling with life. He was wrestling with God. And that was Jacob. You remember how he was down and out about life. His brother said, I'm going to kill you. And his brother's coming. And there's a whole group of them, and they're coming. And Jacob wrestled with God that night. And he's like, God, you promised all these things. Where are you? Where are you in this situation? And he wrestled, and he was probably sweating, and he couldn't sleep. But do you know what he said? The angel said, let me go. And he said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. Lord, I want a blessing. I need it from you. I need a blessing to face life. And we know the story, how that said the angel reached out there and touched his thigh, and he was out of joint. I believe he was wrestling with God. God touched his thigh, and he was out of joint, and he couldn't wrestle anymore. And I believe he had pain. I believe he had a lot of pain and suffering with that out of joint. If you've ever had a bone out of joint, the gut sprained, it hurts. I think Jacob suffered a long time with that one. He walked with a limp. But in the midst of that pain and suffering, he got his blessing. You get my point? There's times in life where we go through a lot of pain and suffering. But there is a blessing. God will give us a blessing if we remain faithful. How does God bless you? How has God blessed you? Do you know when you received a blessing from God? It's just very practical thoughts. But how do you know when you received a blessing? What is God doing in the lives of people around you to bless them? So I have a few thoughts here on how God blesses his people. And the first one I thought about is peace. God gives us peace in a world that is so full of turmoil. Could read Psalm 29:11. It says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace. The world desires peace. They just want peace. They just want security. But God's people, part of the blessing that God pours out on my life, on your life, is just simple peace. Brother Les took us to Isaiah for devotions Wednesday night. The Prince of Peace. We're coming into this Christmas season, how Jesus came to this world as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He brought peace to this world. He brings peace to your heart, peace to your family, peace to our congregation. That is what Jesus does for you and me. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And when I think of that, I think of emotional peace. When you're free, but you are free indeed. There's an emotional peace, emotional rest that comes from the blessing that God pours out into his people. How does God bless his people? Well, he provides cleansing and forgiveness. We could go to Luke or John 8. It talks a story about the lady that was being accused of adultery. We know that story, how they brought this woman taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst of them. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And they said this, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard the knock. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that was without sin among you, let him cast let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the women standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus provides cleansing and forgiveness. Who of us this morning have no sin? All of us have been forgiven. All of us have a sin that we should have been stoned for. But part of the blessing that God gives me, God gives you, is cleansing, forgiveness. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's a wonderful thing. And it should put a joy on your face, a radiance on your face, that you are saved from something. Cleansed and forgiven. Another blessing that God gives his people. And I'm thinking of, like Jabez, when we cry out, we say, Lord, bless me. Lord, this week, tomorrow, I need a blessing. I need something from you, Father. And the Lord pours out these things into my life. Turn with me to Hebrews 4 for another one. Hebrews 4, verse 14, very familiar verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Very beautiful verse. It's a verse that God says, I will give you mercy and grace every day. It's a blessing that he provides to us. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace. It's available and it's free. All we need to do is come and ask for it, that we can find grace to help in time of need. It also talked about that high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. Whatever you're going through, our high priest understands. He has feelings. He knows your feelings. And he can be touched. Jesus can be touched with the sorrows of life. Maybe you don't have sorrows, but sooner or later, life will bring you some sorrow. And it's comforting to know that Jesus can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Like Job says, oh, if someone could just represent me. And our Father can represent us unto the Father. He can be touched. Another blessing that God gives to his people is joy. There's many. We could go to John 15 for that. Father loved us, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy remains in you, that your joy might be full. Just a blessing. That we can be a joyful people because of the love of the Father. Jabez called out to God, bless me. And God heard and God answered. And God still answers that prayer. God has answered that prayer in the past. So we can look at some accounts of how men sought God's blessing in the past. We looked at what that blessing is. Let's look at some accounts where men have sought that blessing in the past. We already talked about Jacob. They're wrestling, and he said, God, I won't let go of you until you bless me. And God blessed him. He got what he wanted. Is that being selfish? But God wants to give his people blessings. He does. We could look at the 10 lepers. Preached on that the last time. These lepers that had nothing to look forward to in life. Their skin was deteriorating. They were crippled. They were limping. They were dirty. Everything gross could put on them. That's who they were. They were lepers. No hope for life, but they knew Jesus was close by. And you know the story. They cried out, "Master, have mercy on me. Have mercy." And Jesus did something about it. There was some needy individuals that cried out, and Jesus provided them with healing. One of the ways God blesses us is provides when his people come to him begging for help, he provides healing. You could take blind Bartimaeus sitting there along the side of the road. He couldn't see. And again, Jesus was close by. And he cries out and says, "Lord, have mercy on me." And he wouldn't be quiet. And he kept crying out, and he was becoming a bother. And they're like, "Would you be quiet?" And he just cried out louder and louder. Finally, the Lord said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Lord, I need my sight. I need to be able to see." He knew what his needs were. How many of us are willing to say, "Lord, I can't see. Lord, I have a really bad need in my life." Blind Bartimaeus was honest about that need. He could have said, "Well, Jesus, I don't know." He could have just made it less worse than it was. But he just, "I can't see. I need my sight, Lord." If we're honest about our issues, God can touch. God can heal. We could think of Elijah up on Mount Carmel. We're thinking about how God blesses these people. And Elijah needed a blessing from God, because he was standing there in a group of unbelievers. You know the story. How that they were the prophets of Baal, and they were offering their sacrifice to their idol. And how in the evening he said, "Come on down. I'm going to show you who the true God is." And he set up his sacrifice, and he got a barrel of water, and he poured it on there. Do you have that kind of faith? That knowing that when you pray to God, that God will answer. Do you have that kind of faith that you can move the heart of God? And they all gathered around, and Elijah bowed his head. And he said, "Lord, I need you to show that you are the God." And God answered in a traumatic way. That fire fell from heaven. The stones were ate up. Everything was just gone in a flash. God responded. There's many times we could just go through event after event where people prayed and said, "God, I need a blessing from you. I need a direct answer from you. I need something." And God would move. We could look at the account of Elisha when his servant was... Remember, he went to that city in Dothan? Dothan. And the servant went out, and they were surrounded by the enemies. It's the account in 2 Kings 6. I'll just tell it to you. And the servant was afraid. He said, "Oh, master, what are we going to do?" Elisha wasn't worried. He said, "God, I need a blessing from you right now. I need you to anoint the eyes of my servant." You know that you can pray for a blessing on another individual. And God reached down there and opened up his eyes of his servant. And the whole mountain was just full of God. Just took his fears and they just left. Look who's with you. The people of God. The Lord opened his eyes, and God opened his eyes. And he's seen spiritual insights that he couldn't see before. All because he prayed for it. He prayed specifically for it. And I challenge you to pray specifically for what you need God to do on the behalf of other people. We could go to the account of Mark 10, where they brought the little children. Why did they bring the little children to Jesus? It said they wanted Jesus to bless them. They wanted a blessing. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He reached and touched, and he blessed those little children, and they got their blessing. God doesn't always answer prayers in the way that we think he should. And I want to hasten to say that, because there's times when we pray and we say, God, I need this from you. Lord, I desire it. Lord, this is in your will. Would you just touch this individual's life? And nothing happens. Does that mean that God is withholding blessing? There's actually a biblical account of this, where David, King David, said, Lord, I want to build you a house. Lord, I'm going to do this great thing for you. I want to build you a beautiful temple. And he actually told Nathan this, the prophet Nathan. If you go there in the account, I didn't write it down, but he went to Nathan and he said, I'm going to do this thing. And Nathan said, sounds like a good plan. Go for it. I think that's wonderful. You build God a house. And said, that night, God came to Nathan and said, Nathan, that is not what I want. That's not what I want for David. He's a man of war. He can't build me a house. I have a better plan. And it said the next day, he went back to the king, King David. He said, David, God is not going to bless you in this. God does not want you to build a house. And I can imagine the crash of dreams, because David was saying, Lord, I'm going to do this. I have strong desire for you. And God says, no, I have a better plan. And it said David sat in the house of the Lord for a while. Maybe he had to get his own feelings under control. I don't know what he did, but he didn't rebel. He accepted it. He said, okay. And you know the story. God doesn't always answer prayers the way we think he should. Back to our account in 1 Chronicles. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And I'm sure this was an Old Testament account that I believe he probably said, Lord, make my business grow. The Old Testament part of obeying God was physical blessing. God said, if you serve me, I will bless you. And so probably I think this truly was physical. Give me more ground. Give me a bigger, more horses. It's growth. And I would just like to think about our spiritual lives. That when we say enlarge my coast, we want to grow. We want to grow spiritually. And we're saying, Lord, I want to grow. I want to be a better person for you. I want to understand more things, more spiritual things. When we grow, we think about business. When our business grows, it brings more responsibility. We have more responsibility. Life's like that. When things enlarge, we have more responsibility, and so it is with our spiritual lives. The more we understand, the more responsible we become. No Christian today can stay alive without growth. 2 Peter 3:18. I'm going to read several verses out of Peter, so turn with me there. 2 Peter 3. It's the last verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Should be a prayer of all of ours. That God, I want to grow. Grow to be more like you. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To learn more about him. That means it's going to take Bible study. It's going to take an interest in God's word to grow and to be more like the Father. We're going to have to spend time with him. With the word. Reading the word. Understanding what he requires of us. Turn over to 1 Peter 2. It's a few pages. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Just talks about growth. Growing in the word. We all like to eat. We all like to desire good food. We eat things that we enjoy eating. We enjoy God's word. We partake of it, we will grow. We need to desire it. God wants first place in our lives, not second place. And our life becomes such a rat race and trying to figure out how to fit this all together. But God says, part of the blessing, part of enlarging my coast is a desire for his word. And God will he'll bless us with growth. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Growing in relationships toward each other. Did you hear that or see that? As the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. That's part of growing. That's part of our spiritual maturity. As we grow, we see the gifts in each other. And we work with one another. We grow in love one toward another. We encourage each other. If you're still in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. Be multiplied. Not only added, multiplied. You know how fast multiplication can add up? 2 plus 2 is 4. But you start multiplying all that, and you're going to get unimaginable blessings. Grace and peace be multiplied. I like that. And he goes on. And verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These godly traits, these Christian graces need to be growing, multiplying. If they are in you and abound, they make you some, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, verse 9 talks about, if you don't have these Christian graces, but he that lacketh these things, these Christian graces of virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's like a Christian that's trying to live his Christian life and he's just, don't care. He's forgetting to pray for God to bless him. I come back to the question of, do you want God's blessing? Are you praying every day that God would pour out something into your life? That he would enlarge your spiritual understanding? That you would grow in your maturity? Growing in virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge is that ability to apply what we already know. The ability to live it out. Just practical graces as you face life. As you meet people. As you raise your family. Temperance. Patience. It's all areas we get tested on. Godliness. Holy living. Like our Father, becoming more like him, and brotherly kindness is an act of kind, a love one for another. Next phrase that we have here, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. That thy hand might be with me. You think about God's hands moving and the events of people. And I have to think for an illustration of that, we could go to the account of Moses. How that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and how they were trying to come out, and how the plagues, God was reaching down there and touching the Egyptians. I think it was God's hand that was moving there. You think about the Red Sea, how God reached down there and he separated those waters. It doesn't say that his hands come down. But God was surely moving on their behalf. He was making things happen. That thy hand would be with me. I always like that account. It's in Exodus 14. I just want to get a verse there. when they went across that Red Sea, and the enemy was behind, and they were going, the enemy's coming, and how it said God reached down and he took off those chariot wheels. Still can't lay my eyes on it. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians throughout the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, and he drave them heavily. So the Egyptians fled, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. I just can't imagine the terror of trying to get through that water and your wheels fall off and you're done. You don't want to be on the other side of God's hand. You want to be on the kind where God is blessing you with his hand, because when his hand is against you, there is no escape. God can reach down and do the unimaginable thing. He can make the unimaginable happen. He can send COVID to an entire country and shut it down if he wants to. And he can keep his people safe. That's God's hand. He can. That thy hand may be with me. Moses goes on, and you know the account, how the children of Israel would go against him, and God's hand would reach down and bring judgment. In Exodus 33, we had where the children of Israel had fallen, and Moses was saying, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Am I supposed to go forward, or am I supposed to stay? And we have this verse, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He was just saying, God, if you're not in this, if your hand is not in this event, I don't want to go. But Lord, if you're here, if you're directing, let's go. Let's move. And God said, I'm in this. Move ahead in faith. We could look at the life of Joseph. God's hand moving, shaping the events. You know, from just, if you were there living, you would think it was just events. But we look at that story and we say, God was working tremendously. God was reaching down, touching people, putting them in positions. I came across the blessing that his father, Jacob, had pronounced upon him. And it specifically talks about the hand of God. Listen to it. It said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty he shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, and blessing of the womb, by the mighty God, by the mighty God's hand supporting my arms. It's a picture of God just down there undergirding him, holding him. He said, your hands were supporting my arms, giving him strength. And you could say, well, how else did Jacob make it? Sorry, Joseph. How did Joseph survive being betrayed by his own brothers, betrayed by his own family? Sold. How did he forgive those brothers? How did he forgive the woman that tried to drag him down and got him into jail? The butler that was supposed to get out and secure his freedom forgot to talk about it. All those hurts in his life, but the hand of God was there. God was real, God was alive, and God was with him. God is with us today. Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, and it goes on and talks about all kinds of things, can separate us from the love of God. Because the hand of God is upon his saints and upon his people. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Are we praying every day that God's hand would be involved in our lives, directing, guiding us, shaping the events? next phrase that we have, and that thou might wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Keep me from evil. And that reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We live in an evil world. Our priestly prayer. Jesus said, I put you in this world, but Heavenly Father, keep them from the evil that is around. We live in a dangerous time. And our prayer every day should be, God, that you would protect us from the evil that surrounds us. Jabez prayed, we should pray it. Paul prayed it, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. There's many verses we could look at. And the last phrase that we have in this account. And God granted him that what he requested. God gave him his request. He prayed, he poured out his heart, he said, God, I need you. I need a blessing from you. I want you to touch my life. I need your hand in my life. Keep me from the evil. And it just simply says, and God granted him that request. If God only gave you what you requested, how much would you have? If you only get what you're asking for, how much would you have? If you only got the blessings that you asked for, how much would you miss? Just questions. Do I pray? Do you pray for God's blessing? Do you desire God's blessings on your life? Am I seeking God's presence every day to go with me? Do I realize the successes of life come from God and not of myself? It comes from his hand. Verse says, Jabez was more honorable. I am an honorable person. Am I more honorable than the modern Christianity, the people that live around me, that claim to serve him, but they don't live it out? Am I more honorable than those kind of people? Will the sorrows of life make me more dependent upon God, or will it keep me from him? And the last question is, if God only gives me what I ask for and seek for, will I be richly blessed, or will I be a beggar? I trust this morning as we study into this prayer, the life of Jabez, that you would be a Jabez this week. That you would grow in your relationship with God and you'd say, oh God, bless me, bless my family this week. Lord, I need you so much. Guide me. Desire God's blessing and be prepared to be a blessed person. Let us kneel for prayer. Our dear Father,